Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
This next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the E word. Evangelism, right? Evangelism. I don't know about you, but when I hear the word evangelism, it makes me cringe just a little bit. And you're like, well, but you're a pastor. When I hear the word evangelism, and I can see in some of your faces, it's making you cringe too. I can see it. You know, we're going to talk about evangelism this morning. It's a loaded word. It's at the heart, though, of ministry. It's at the heart of what Melissa was just talking about. To the very heart and center of who we are as God's people. But evangelism, it's a loaded word. It is a loaded word. This morning I want you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 15. Pastor Vicki and I did not coordinate this at all, but she preached from John chapter 15 last week and was talking about the vine and the branches, and she took us up to verse 12 and then cut it off there, and I'm just going to focus on John chapter 15 verse 12 this morning in our little talk today. John chapter 15 verse 12, Jesus says to his disciples after he talks to them about bearing fruit and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He says, my command is this to you all, to my disciples, and that includes everybody in this room today who claims to be a disciple of Jesus. My command to all of you is this, love each other as I have loved you. Think about God, how God has loved us in spite of our messed upness, in spite of all of the ways that we just are a heap of just mistakes and brokenness. In spite of all that, God loves us. And Jesus tells us as his disciples, love each other as I have loved you. No greater love as this. No greater love as no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. We're going to unpack this just a little bit today, talking about the E word, evangelism. Loaded word. It's at the heart of ministry, but it's been hijacked. This is a word that's been hijacked over the past three or four, maybe five decades, and has almost been warped into something that has damaged severely the reputation of the Church of Jesus Christ in the eyes of the world. We're going to talk about this over the next couple of moments. Why do people of the church cringe and run sometime when we talk about evangelism? Because believe me, I can see it on your face. Like you're like, oh no. Why do people cringe? For many, and I'm just going to be really straight with you. Okay, you know me well enough to know I'm a straight shooter. But for many of us, we're not comfortable with the tactics. I just can't go start talking to somebody about, hey, do you know Jesus is your personal Savior in your life? You know, and I don't feel like I know the Bible well enough to be able to get into a debate, a theological debate with somebody who's seeking. What if they challenge me? What if they ask me questions I can't answer? I'm not comfortable with the cold call tactics, the in your face. You know, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. Because that's what we think of when we think of evangelism, right? It's that in your face, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. It's a very judgmental feeling. Doesn't feel very good to be on the receiving end of it. And I can tell by a lot of you, it doesn't feel to be good to be on the giving end of it either. We're going to be talking about this. So we're not comfortable with the tactics. A lot of us aren't comfortable because we just don't feel worthy to be deliverers of the message. I don't measure up. I don't feel like I have the qualifications on my spiritual resume to be an effective witness of Jesus Christ because I'm messed up. It's the way we feel some of the time. And for some, we just don't want to be in the position where we lose the argument. We've got the winning argument, but I don't want to be in a position where I don't know the answers in the debate. I don't want to lose the argument because then Jesus would be like really ashamed of me. It's like, come on, I'm giving you all the ammo and you can't convince them? To accept me? What's wrong with you, child? I mean, that's what we say to ourselves in our heads when we think about evangelism. We don't have faith. Who likes to face rejection? Nobody. Nobody. Fear of rejection. It's a big driver. When I was a young man, when I was just coming out of college, I worked at the local radio station in Mount Vernon, Ohio. And I was pretty much a jack of all trades. I'd read the news, I'd read the weather, I'd run the control board, Cleveland Cavalier games. I would do my homework through college, playing the commercials during Cleveland Cavalier games. And at some point in time, they had me take this test to see if I had the aptitude for sales. They made me take a test, and apparently I scored really well. I scored really well because the next week, they started training me to sell radio advertising. I'm like, what? I'm just a kid. I'm just trying to do what they need me to do because they're paying for the gasoline so that I can go see Pastor Vicky on the weekends, and it's a good job to get my, homework done at. But they're like, you've got the aptitude for selling radio advertising. And so they start training me. But I had zero desire in my heart to be Herb Tarlick from WKRP in Cincinnati, if you remember that show. I had zero desire in my heart to sell radio advertising, but I went along with it because I needed the money and I liked working there. My first assignment was to go out to a hunting supply store on East Coshocton Avenue. I'm sorry, it was West Coshocton Avenue in Mount Vernon to go pitch them an ad campaign. And I go in and I'm just silly old naive Joe, the kid who's in training to sell radio advertising. And I came back with like an $800 order for like 3 or 4 weeks worth of commercials. And I came back with a check. Our treasurer likes that. I came back with a check in my hands, and the general manager of the station was astounded. I didn't know it, but they sent me to this hunting store, and that had been one of the toughest nuts to crack for them to get them to buy radio advertising. And here's this case kid. He walks in and he comes back with an $800,000 check for a month's worth of advertising. Well, it was dumb luck. It was totally dumb luck because I think that was my second to last radio advertising sale. It was very difficult. I was uncomfortable, and I found out pretty quickly that selling radio advertising, even though I had the aptitude for it, it didn't come naturally for me because for every 10 calls, one person might express some interest, if I was lucky. And I got lucky on my first call, nailing that $800 to $1,000 sale. I was uncomfortable with the assignment. I was, it was before the aptitude test. I looked forward to going to work. After the aptitude test and during the training, I started feeling uncomfortable. I didn't like how hard you had to work to do this job. I was uncomfortable with the methods. I didn't like rejection. I'm like you, I don't like rejection. It's no fun being told no, right? It's not engaging for you to be told time and again, we're not interested, we don't have the budget. It's hard to build up enthusiasm when you're ushered out and they pat you on the head and kind of are laughing at you and sending you on your way. And I think the mission of evangelism has kind of been hijacked somewhere along the way by gimmicks and tactics that make building the kingdom more like selling radio ads. It's like there's some sort of shtick. You almost feel like Herb Tarlick, when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus. And it feels more like selling radio ads than offering the life-changing message of the cross that we know that it really is. Times are changing. Times, they are a-changing. I think that started in the 1960s when Dylan wrote that song. Times are changing. Society is changing. But the gospel of Jesus Christ remains the same. The good news remains the same. So why does if the good news remains the same, why does the church cringe and run for the hills when we talk about sharing the good news of Jesus? Right? Why do we cringe? First of all, I think our tactics need to be refreshed. Three quick points for you this morning as we look at John chapter 15. Our tactics need to be refreshed. The way maybe you feel about evangelism, you're like, well, I'm just not going to say it because you're not going to say that in church because, yeah, we're really for it. But behind the scenes, you're like, this is crazy. I feel like I'm Herb Tarlick. I'm not going to do that. I found a study by the Barna Group, and I've got some stats that Jason can put up on the screen here. Recent study by the Barna Group shows that 75% of Christians in North America say that evangelism should be a priority. 3 out of 4 say that evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus, should be a priority. But those same people admit, 2 out of 3 of those same people admit that their participation in evangelism is on the decline or non-existent. It's a priority, but I'm not doing it. Why is that, right? In other words, Christians are saying evangelism is important, but not me. It's not for me. It creates dissonance in us. We feel guilty, right? I feel guilty. Don't guilt me, Pastor. And I am not here to guilt you at all. That's not what this message is about this morning. I found this quote from a book that I caught at District Assembly from Grant Zweigel. And hopefully you can see the text up there. I'm going to read this quote for you. But this speaks truth to power. This is exactly how I think a lot of us feel. The reason that so many Christians today don't engage in evangelism is that they associate evangelism with a set of practices, behaviors, or approaches by which they themselves are turned off and with which they don't want to be associated. Is that true?
True.
Does that feel? I think that's true. For many people, personal evangelism doesn't seem so personal. It doesn't feel very authentic. Does that describe you? It's okay. We can be honest. We're in church. Yeah, it's the way I feel some of the time. I'm your pastor. Holy smokes, what's he saying? I feel that way because I don't think that the conventional way that we've been taught to do the sharing of the message of Jesus works. It's not a radio shtick. And the hard sell tactics that came through the 70s and the 80s, great, well-intended. But if you look at the church in America today, I think there's an argument to say that those tactics are not relevant anymore. But we're still called to share the story of Jesus. Personal evangelism isn't about going door to door and making calls. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? I don't know about you, but when those people come, I don't answer the door. And I'm a pastor. Nobody's home over here. I'll sit in my chair and kind of, I didn't hear anything. You do it too. I know you do. Some of you will open the door. Some of you will answer the phone. But it's not about going door to door making cold calls, and it's not about worrying about coming across as holier than thou. You know, I've actually heard people say that, you know, Jimmy was okay until he became a Christian, and then he kind of turned into an arrogant, judgmental, not fun person to be around. And I'm like, did Jimmy really get saved? Because I don't know about you, but living in Christ is fun. You know, and we're going to talk about this over the next couple of weeks, this mindset of what it really means to share the story of Jesus with other people. And, you know, I'm going to try to use as lightly as possible the word evangelism because I think it's just so loaded with negative connotations. But we've got a job to do as the church. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. And he didn't just say that for pastors. If you are one of his followers this morning, that's your job too. That should be the essence of the focus of our lives, making disciples. It's not about worrying about coming across as holier than thou. It's not about convincing people that we're right and that they're wrong and they need to get right with Jesus. That's not what evangelism is about. Somehow, personal evangelism has been warped into an inauthentic sales pitch that makes both the sender and the receiver not feel really good. Feels kind of yucky. And it's not about any of those things. Folks, sharing the good news is at the heart of God's love for us. Jesus teaches in this passage, I've taught you how to love in John 15, 12. Love, yeah, my command is this, love one another the way that I have loved you. Not with judgmentalism, with grace. Not with condemnation, but with love and acceptance. That's what this is all about. God so loved the world. How did God love us? God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son to save us. His one and only son. God so loved you. He had you on his mind. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die and take your place and to take whatever punishment's due to you so that you don't have to be separated from God anymore.
Amen.
Amen. That's how God loves us, that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. Salvation, full and free. Bondage, breaking salvation. Liberty, weight off the shoulders. Peace, joy, contentment. Anybody want to sign up? That's what this is about. It's not about the heaviness of the of what somehow it's become. It's not a sales pitch. It's about caring about other people. It's about sharing how God's working in our lives. That's why this sermon series is called This Is My Story. Because really, to help other people, to point other people to Jesus is all about sharing my story. Where have I come from? What has God done for me? And how can that help maybe help you find that redeeming grace and love and peace and contentment and joy? It's about partnering with God through the Holy Spirit to bring the kingdom of heaven to our little corner of the world. I've been talking about this for a year. Melissa just testified and alluded to this circle of influence that we all have. We all make a difference to a group of people in our lives. We are the only ones that might influence those people. And really, this whole mission of becoming Christ-like, of allowing Jesus to rule in our hearts and to pray and earnestly live, your kingdom come in my life. Your will be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven. What's going on in heaven? Everybody's drawn to God. And in my life, I'm asking God through the way that I live my life, through the words that I say, through the decisions that I make, through the actions that I act out, may people be drawn to you as I live a life of love. As I live a life of love. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about a fresh approach to the E word. We're not going to say the E word very much, but we're going to talk about a fresh approach to evangelism and sharing this great story in ways that are meaningful, that come from the heart. How's God working in your life? How can you share that with other people so that your life can point them to this same beautiful news that Jesus brings to us? So our tactics need to be updated. Second of all, this morning, our motives need to be put in check. Our motives need to be put in check. I don't know about you, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we've recently updated in your bulletin. When you open your bulletin now, we've updated the mission and vision statement that sits on the back of your bulletin every week. I want you to read it with me. It's Jason, you can flip it up on the board there too. This is our vision and mission statement for our church. Learning to love God and learning to love others. That's what we're about as a faith community at Maplewood. Say it with me here. Learning to love God and learning to love others. That's brilliant, isn't it? It's because it's the words of Jesus. Jesus was asked by the religious officials of the day, what's the greatest commandment? They were trying to trick him. And Jesus says, you need to learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you need to love your neighbor as yourself. If you were a good Jew, you knew that was the greatest commandment. It is the summation of the Ten Commandments. It is the summation of the law. It is the essence of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And we've decided, hey, let's not get all glitzy and glamorous and complicated. Let's just make the vision and mission of our faith community here simply this. Well, I'm here every week as your pastor, and I'm learning to love God. And I'm here as your pastor every week. I'm learning to love other people. He's working on me. He's working in my life. We sang that song at the Sing last Sunday night. He's still working on me. You know, I'm under construction, and His Holy Spirit's working in my life, and His Holy Spirit's working in your life. And it's about continually surrendering to Him. And as Melissa testified earlier, it's about being teachable. It's about being willing to be taught and coached by the Holy Spirit, the voice of God. And I would ask you this morning, is this your attitude? Or can this be the mission and vision for your own personal spiritual walk? I'm learning to love God. Learning to love what God loves. I'm learning to surrender what I want, lay down what I want, so that I can be His person. And by the way, I'm learning to love other people. Because we all need to be taken to school on that, don't we? Yeah. Don't we all need to be taken to school on how to love other people? I don't know any of us that have it down. There are certain people that rub me the wrong way, and I need to learn how to love them more. You know? There are just certain people that God is teaching me to love in new and different ways. So this learning to love God and learning to love others is our focus. And we just think that's a great place to start at Maplewood. That's a great place for us to be as a faith community. Pastor Vicki and I, we say, keep it simple. Let's not make this complicated. And this whole sharing this awesome story of God's mission to rescue the world from sin is at the heart of learning to love God and learning to love other people. It is at the core of this. We don't engage in sharing this story of God's love for us as an item to check off. Well, I did that this week. I get my caravan badge because I shared the story of Jesus with somebody. Right? We don't do it to check off a list. We don't do it because we're supposed to. We share our story and we share what Jesus has done in our lives because He's made such a huge impact in our lives. We can't help but share that with other people. It just spills out of us. People notice a difference in us. They notice that we are different than other people in this world. And they go, "What in the world is up with you?" And it's a huge opportunity. It's a huge opening to just say, "I love Jesus, man. He's changed my life. And I'm happier than I ever could be. And if you want to know more about it, come and talk to me sometime. I'd be happy to share with you." We don't do it just to check off an item on the list, though. To truly love someone, to truly love someone is to love what they stand for. Think about that for a moment. To truly love someone is to love what they stand for, to be passionate about what they are passionate about. I've got a little story for you. When Pastor Vicki and I were dating, we met when we were 16. We dated all the way through college. And in college, she would have requirements with her music major to go to these assigned concerts at Ohio Wesleyan. And it's one of those things where I loved her so much that I wanted to spend time with her. I would rationalize any way, Garnet, that I could to spend time with Vicki. Because I loved her. I wanted to be with that girl. She was cool. She was the bee's knees, baby. She is. We're still that way. Back then. Keep me honest, Patty. Get me in trouble. But I loved her so much, I wanted to spend time with her. And one way to spend time with her on Sunday afternoons was to go with her to various concerts at Ohio Wesleyan University. They were classical recitals. They were various instruments, vocalists, things like that, that she had to go to as a requirement for her music major. Now, at the time, I wasn't a huge fan of classical music. I knew about it, and I had to learn about it in class and things like that. I wasn't a huge fan of classical music at the time, but my love for her, Rosie, compelled me to go to these concerts with her because I wanted to spend time with her. And you know what happened? Over time, my love for good classical music actually developed into something. I sat on my back porch for like 2 hours yesterday afternoon reading a book, listening to classical music. Yeah, this is the country radio DJ. But I actually like classical music. I mean, I appreciate beautiful, beautiful music. I learned to love, Randy, what she loved. I learned to love what she loved because I wanted to be with her and I wanted to spend time with her. So I learned to love what she loved. Now, I'm still working on her love for classic rock and roll. Because I like my rock and roll music too. You listen to Yes every once in a while, won't you? The Beatles every once in a while, I'll get her there. To truly love someone, church, to truly love someone is to learn to be passionate about that which they are passionate. If you truly love someone, and I think if you think about your relationships, people you love, you find that commonality and that love for things, maybe that you didn't have in the past, that you have today. Part of learning to love God is to love His way. Amen? Amen? Part of learning to love God is to love His way. His way is a way that sees potential, spiritual potential in everybody. Do you love that way so much that that's become a part of who you are? Do you see spiritual potential in everybody around you? His way is all about redemption. It's not about condemnation. It's about redemption and forgiveness. His way is all about restoration. His way is about forgiving others, even though you don't think they deserve it. Because that's the way He's loved us. I did not deserve to be forgiven, but He loved me so much that in spite of my lack of merit, in spite of that, He forgave me. Is our motive to share this great story, is it an obligation to you? I have to do it. Or is it out of love for what God loves? Do we love God so much in our lives that we're motivated to just see potential in people around us and to share what He's doing, to share my story with them in a really authentic way? We need to check our motives. Final point this morning. So we need to check our tactics, we need to check our motives, and we're going to be talking about this over the next couple of weeks. The final point this morning, as I read this passage and I think about this whole topic of sharing God's story in our lives, our hearts, not just the pastor's hearts, and I want to challenge you personally today, I'm trying to look into as many eyes as I possibly can this morning, because I'm challenging you, I'm challenging myself. Our hearts, my heart needs to be broken for the lost people around me. Can we truly say that our hearts are broken for the lost people around us in our lives? In our verse this morning in John 15, 12, Jesus is he's sharing the heart of God. This is, I mean, I think if you boiled everything down into the epicenter of the Bible and you had one verse that you wanted to share, in my mind it's not John 3:16 because that's what God does. John 15:12 is why God does it. Why does God save us? Jesus is sharing the heart of God with His disciples throughout this evening that he's dining with them around the table. It's the Last Supper. He had been reinforcing to the disciples that if they truly loved Him, if they were truly loyal to Him, if they loved Him with all their hearts, they were going to obey His commands. And here in verse 12 of John 15, He gets to the crux of the matter. He says, love each other as I've loved you. Grace, mercy, not judgment, not condemnation, but acceptance. You know, how accepting are we of, how accepting are we of people who aren't in the grip of Jesus yet? Do our minds tend to judge? Do we tend to, you know, I can't believe they said that cuss word. Oh my goodness. His command is love each other as I've loved you. That's how God loved me. So I just need to turn around and love other people the way God has loved me. Greater love is no one than this, that He laid down His life for His friends. God has laid down everything, what's most precious, to save us. God has given His Son, Jesus, to die on a cross and pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be saved. Because God's number one mission is up here on the screen. His number one mission is to bring home the lost. Bring them home. Bring them home. God's all about restoring humanity, redeeming. He loves us so much. His number one core mission, the number one core message of the Bible is about God's message to each and every one of you that he loves you so much. He just wants to be reconciled with you. He wants the circuit breaker to be flipped back on so you can have a relationship with him. His number one priority is to bring the lost home. Laying down our lives means laying down our personal agendas and getting serious about the things that are most important to God. We've all got stuff we need to do. We've all got things in our households we need to take care of. But as disciples of Christ, as followers of Christ, as people who are being made in the image of God through the redemption of Jesus Christ, he's asking us to lay that stuff aside and get serious personally about rescuing people, about seeing opportunity to bring people into a new relationship, a living relationship. You know, I don't think that we're necessarily tempted to hate the lost, because God wants us to love people and he wants us to draw people in. I don't think we're tempted to hate the lost. That would seem logical as a temptation, though. And you see it manifested sometimes. I think sometimes you see that manifested in this judgmental attitude, this condemning, wrong attitude that we have. So it's like, I'm no better than they are. How can I have that attitude? So I don't think that we're necessarily tempted to hate the lost, to hate what God loves. But church, listen up here. I think the greatest temptation that the enemy throws before us is much more subtle. I think the greatest enemy of obedience to Jesus' command to love others the way he loved us, the greatest enemy, apathy. Apathy. And I pulled that out. I found like a definition up on the screen there. Lack of interest, lack of enthusiasm, lack of concern. Synonyms are indifference, unconcerned, listlessness. We just don't care. We're distracted by the things of this world. I think the greatest enemy of obedience is apathy towards the lost, not hatred. We're just so caught up in ourselves. We're so caught up in what we've got to do and what we want to do that we become apathetic to the fact that there are people all around us who are hungry to find God and hungry for a relationship with God. I'm really concerned, quite frankly, that maybe we just don't care. I get concerned about the future of the church because we're apathetic. Our hearts aren't broken for the lost. We have more important things to do, or so the enemy whispers in our ears. You're not qualified, he whispers. You're not worthy, he hisses in the back of our mind. My big fear is that the church, the bride of Christ, is quietly being lulled to sleep. Quietly being put to sleep by the lullaby of apathy for the lost. I've got other things I need to do right now, Pastor. This just isn't a priority in this season of my life. I get concerned about that. How much do we really care about the lost? Somebody cared about us. Are our hearts broken for the lost like God's heart is broken for us? Like God's heart is broken for us. What are we willing to change to reach the lost in our church? Are we so married to the way that we do church and our schedules and our programs and our paradigms? Are we so married to that we're not willing to change and try some different new things to reach people through our ministry? Or are we willing to lay down our lives? Are we willing to lay down our preferences, put others first? Are we willing to lay down our agendas so that more people can come to know Jesus as their Savior? What are we willing to do? What are we willing to do? Sharing the story of God's great love and mission to save humanity starts with actually caring. Step number one. Actually caring about lost souls. Do we care enough to bring them? We've got this whole van transportation issue that we're facing right now. Do we care enough to sacrifice a little bit of what's convenient for us to bring people here? Do we care enough? Somebody else can do it. I don't have time to do it. Doesn't fit in my schedule. Apathy. Do we care enough to put up with them when they come? Oh, they're awful loud and they're rough around the edges. They don't know how to act in church. Yeah. We shouldn't expect them to either. It's where love and grace and mercy comes in. Do we care enough to share with them our story? Do we care enough to invest over time? Because what I found is that this whole mission of evangelism doesn't happen in a snap instant where you have a conversation with somebody and, Lee, over the next 30 minutes, I'm going to convince you why you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And we're going to pray at the end of this conversation. It doesn't work that way. We think it's so transactional. This is a lifestyle for God's people. It's about long-term investment in relationships. It's about caring over time and nurturing and being a spiritual friend to people who are seeking. And to be honest, that we're seeking too. To be honest, that we're not finished yet. To be humble about it. It's not like, well, I've got all the answers. I don't, as your pastor. He's still working on me. It's about caring enough to share. Do we care enough? Do we care enough to change our methods and our programs? I mentioned that earlier. That's something we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks. I just want to ask, are our hearts broken by the things that break God's heart? Or are we comfortable with kind of the blanket of apathy that the enemy wraps around our hearts? I'm challenging us. I'm pushing us this morning. Melissa kind of articulated it. I'm pushing you today. And I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. If anything, you know what my desire would be for us this morning is that you would realize that the shackles of what we've known as evangelism can be cracked off of your wrists, and that over the next several weeks you can see a new way of how you can just be you, and how you, in being you, you can just be a spiritual friend to the people around you, share your story authentically in a real way and being honest and not holier than thou, but to do it out of love, to share this joy and this peace that Jesus brings to us in our lives. Amen. It starts within our hearts. It starts within our hearts. We can't give what we ain't got. We can't give what we ain't got. What's your story? How has God moved in your life? I want you to start thinking about that. What is my story? As I look back on my life and as I look at how God has, you know, moved in my heart and my mind, what is my story? That's the starting point for what we need to figure out how we can share authentically with people around us. They don't want a list of things to do, and they don't want to tract. They don't want to be interrupted, uninvited. They want friendship. We want friendship. People want authentic relationships. And it starts with just being real. But if our hearts aren't in it, we might as well hang it up as a church. Our hearts have to be in it. We have to be moved. So that's my prayer for our churches, that we're moved. That we are moved in a unique and a special way, to allow God to use us as conduits of His grace and His mercy. Not to win arguments, not to condemn other people, not to win, you know, or convince or to condemn or anything like that. But I just want us to see that there's a different way to do this, sharing the gospel thing in a very real and authentic way. And step one today is, does what breaks God's heart break my heart?
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.